This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live and one of your hosts. Tyler Linhart joins Dan Dickow and I later on to talk about his commitment to Washington. He's the reigning 2A or 1A State Basketball Player of the Year, Kings High School's own. He's a junior. So stick around for that. Great conversation with Tyler and some great perspective from him as he makes this commitment. Also with me here is Dan Dickow, host of the ISO podcast and SB Live's preeminent basketball mind. And finally, a senior reporter, the prodigal son of Tacoma, your pal and mine, Todd Millis is with me too. Gents, how are we this week?
Well, how are my under 50 colleagues doing, huh? How's my under 50 colleagues doing? Can you tell me what it's like on the other side? I can't remember.
Well, things are great here. You know, I mean, when I get to 50, hopefully my bones aren't creaking too bad. Have you lost any distance off the tee on the golf course? That's kind of my question for you there, Todd.
You know, actually, I was not really. I was more worried about the chip yips. And so far that hasn't come in, but my putting stroke just comes and goes. It's just brutal. But yeah, we'll see. I haven't played my first round, Dan, in my 50s yet. So I'll tell you if I've suddenly lost 50 yards off the tee and hanging them up. So I did get some new irons though, so I'm happy.
Senior flex on the shaft.
Extra senior.
Gotcha.
Is that why they call you senior reporter? Is this why?
Yeah, it's a literal thing. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Well, we have a lot of sports seasons underway right now across the state, probably more than we ever will at any other point. Nearly every non-fall sport is being played in some form right now in leagues and regions across the state. All of those are obviously localized schedules, depending on what different areas wanted to do, what they thought was the best fit in this COVID condensed season. And you know, two of those sports that are being played, softball and baseball, SB Live's coverage of those sports are underway. So if you head to the site right now, scorebooklive.com/Washington or the SB Live Sports app, you're going to find softball coverage already being rolled out. We've got statewide rankings, preseason all-state team, and those positional lists underway, and some pretty good stories, feature stories, both on the softball side and the baseball side, thanks to my co-host here, Todd Millis. Baseball is right on the way as well. Todd, what's one softball storyline this season that you're looking forward to? I know we won't have a state tournament, but there's still compelling things that fans can be aware of.
Yeah, I think it's you know, you and I have both sort of gone through this in our research for state rankings and lists and things like that of our of the top players in the state, and it's kind of a rediscovery period. So even though you have a lot of coaches with a lot of experience both on the high school side and the club side, talking to a lot of coaches, they don't really know. There's a real unknown about what some of these perennial contenders have. So it's sort of a rediscovery period in this shortened season about, okay, we haven't played a game in almost 2 years. So what do these teams have 2 years later? What is their young talent now, for me, maybe sophomores in 2019 or ninth graders in 2019? What are they like now as juniors and seniors? And then what is this next wave of young talent? Who has it? And how is it going to impact here over the next 2-3 years? So it's been interesting to talk to coaches, especially in really good softball leagues around the state. The Kinko's been strong. The Wesco's been strong. The 4A SBSLs always seems to be a factor. Obviously, the leagues down in your neck of the woods, Andy in Vancouver. It's been interesting to listen to coaches just kind of go, oh, I have no idea. We're just going to go out and play. And again, like I said, it's sort of this rediscovery period. Even rivals are saying the same thing. It's kind of fun. And obviously, some of these condensed schedules, especially these leagues, they're going to play each other more than once at different points of the season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the adjustment period after the rediscovery period when they play later in the season for, you know, when some of these leagues I know are playing league championship games and important games, you know, in late April, early May.
Yeah, I think as far as team storylines on the baseball side, you know, it's down in my neck of the woods, the first baseball game I went to this year was in the 2A Greater St. Helens League down here, and it was Columbia River and Washougal on, what was that, Monday? And Washougal hands Columbia River, who has a pitching staff that 2A teams typically do not have. They're three deep of arms that, you know, throw 85 and above, can really, really have, you know, beat any team on any given night with who they throw up there. And Washougal kept it low scoring and nipped them late and created a little logjam at the top of that league. And so, you know, in a season where at the 2A level down here, they're going to do a some sort of district playoff with the 2A EVCO. And so, you know, some of the best teams in the state in the 2A level, Tumwater and WF West, are right up there. And so we'll get a chance to see, you know, hey, is now that Columbia River's got two games left, can they hold on to one of these spots? They should. And are we going to get to see, you know, maybe a really, really good 2A state matchup that could have been reasonably, you know, two teams that could be playing for state titles here at the end of the season before some leagues even really get going in full swing. So that's the team story I'm most excited about. Keep your eyes on the site and on the app. I'll have a story on those pitchers coming very soon. But overall, my top storyline is, you know, these kids, some of the top prospects in the state, and there are some very good top prospects. Washington has been a hotbed for, you know, draftable talent here in recent memory. This year is no exception with Malachi Knight, Marysville Getchell, Max DeBeck, J.R. Ritchie. I know he's 2022, but, you know, somebody who's making waves, a UCLA commit, and the list goes on. And we're going to have a shorter MLB draft this year, but something that you're going to see as high schools return and those top players go back to their high schools after having to go out of state to play in the off season is you're going to see a lot of those radar guns if you pick the right high school matchup. Fife, certainly a tons of scouts going to see. Oh yeah. Yeah. Up in your neck of the woods, Todd, Puyallup, of course, has a ton of talent. Bainbridge, those two, I think probably are the most talented teams in the state. But even down here where I live in the, you know, Vancouver area, you've got, you know, Camas and Skyview play next week, and I expect to see scouts out to assess Caden Vire, Arizona State commit from Skyview, who 6'6" and has made leaps and bounds every year. His development has been impressive. Added about 5 miles an hour on the strike on the fastball each year. So. Will be a very interesting spring. You know, no state playoff, obviously, but that doesn't stop all the storylines from being covered. And Todd and I will do our best to bring those to you. And if there's one that we don't see, please send it our way. We're always looking for compelling stories. So speaking of which, out of the Tri-Cities, as we talk to Tyler Linhart here in a sec, there was, after Linhart committed, another top 2021 talent, Kobe Young of Chihuahua. He's a 6'5 guard, shooting guard, who has battled injuries at times of his high school career. And we've, you know, really been waiting to see him get the opportunity to prove it in front of college coaches. And it seems like he did that a couple weeks ago at an AAU tournament down in Boise, where he put on and just happened to be playing in front of Leon Rice, head coach at Boise State. And he's a guy that Boise State recruited early. And they told him, look, I don't think we have a scholarship for you. And, you know, sure enough, after seeing him play a couple weekends ago, seeing the way that his shot has become more consistent, seeing the way that he facilitates, seeing the way that that the offense can run through him, and defends especially. The Broncos go in and offer him, and there's a ton of connective threads there between Coach Rice and the Chihuahua basketball program that I'll get to in a second. But Dan, you have recruiting rankings with SB Live. You took a hard look at Kobe Young. What do you think about him going to Boise State?
Yeah, I think it's a a really good opportunity for him. You kind of mentioned some of the injury issues that he has had over the course of his high school career. And unfortunately, those are things that sometimes as an athlete, you can't get away from. And you're not at your peak health-wise to be able to perform in front of coaches when there is a chance. But when you get healthy and you have an opportunity, you got to make the most of it. And it sounds like he did. You know, this isn't a normal evaluation period, obviously, because of COVID. But, you know, for example, Leon Rice sees him at an AAU tournament. Well, Leon, because he has a son that's in high school, has the ability to go to a tournament, and he's only supposed to watch his son's game. Well, if the opportunity lines up that he's playing against at the same time in the gym and against someone in that scenario, and you can make the most of it, good for you. And it sounds like that's what Kobe did. You know, I think in talking to some other people around the state, Carl Howell, who coached him on in AAU, they really like his upside. They felt like he just had to stay healthy. And with being healthy, he would be able to kind of have a consistent approach to workouts. And he was really going to improve at that point. So it sounds like it's all coming together for him. So good for him. Happy to see that. And yeah, there are Tri-Cities kind of ties. Leon is from there. He started his coaching career at the high school level there. And he's very well connected to a lot of those coaches. So I know that he would have gotten good intel on you know, Kobe's background, his work ethic, if maybe that one weekend was not a flash in the pan, and good for him, and great to see it.
Yeah, that's an amazing piece of this that you brought up, Dan, is that, you know, we're in an NCAA recruiting dead period, and Kobe was able to show out in front of a coach on technicality. Like that's you know, after a long 2 years for him, he broke his foot in the football season his junior year, and it kept him out for most of basketball season, and then he, I think, rolled the other ankle and missed his entire junior year in a really, really good Chihuahua team that I should say he returned for the last couple of games in limited minutes. But, you know, that's maybe somebody like him deserves, you know, a stroke of luck like that. And something that he brought up to me was, you know, hey, I can't wait to play with my Washington Supreme teammate, Tyson Degenhardt at Mount Spokane, somebody who's also committed to Boise State. So two big Washington names who you're going to be able to see at the next level, potentially on the court at the same time. But Todd, with Kobe, we didn't know whether he was going to be a basketball or a football recruit. And I know that's something that, you know, he had said all along. You know, it was just a matter of which offers he was going to get in which sport. Having kind of known his skill sets in each, are you glad to see that he's going on to play basketball?
I mean, I think he would be an impact football player, too. You know, I think for the longest time we were here in Central, maybe for both. And again, I think, as Dan alluded to, you know, a lot of this was just seeing him sort out his injury issues. And again, I talked to Carl Howell too. He thought that Kobe was one of the better athletes in his program at club, showed really well during the summer when he was healthy. But he's had some foot issues on separate occasions. So he needed to sort through that before it kind of all settled. But yeah, I kind of always thought maybe it would be basketball, and it's worked out that way. I do have a question for Dan in terms of just taking a step back and looking at Boise State's presence as a school that recruits this state. They've got Tyson and they've got Kobe now. What do you look at this, Dan, as a flash in the pan, or do you see them kind of having sort of long lasting presence in the state when recruiting Washington guys?
No, I think there's a lot of credibility to thinking that they're going to have a presence in the state of Washington over the next stretch. Leon is obviously from Washington, Tri-Cities. Assistant coach Mike Burns was a head coach at Eastern for a bit. RJ Barsh, who you know is from the Tacoma area, and you know a lot of times with college programs, because you can't be everywhere all the time, you kind of trust your network, the people that you know in different parts of the region or maybe in the country. to keep you kind of in the loop with guys. And so with those three guys having really good Northwest ties, I'm sure, you know, they've got a really good pulse on everything going over here. And if it's a kid that makes sense positionally, upside, I would imagine they would keep recruiting over here for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, they recruited our next guest on this podcast, Tyler Linhart, who opted to go to or commit to UW. He, of course, is also he's a junior, class of 2022. And we're going to get to him in a moment. But before we do, Dan, March is over, but the ISO still marches on. You're putting out episodes 3 times a week. What can listeners and followers of your work expect on the podcast and on the site?
Yeah, we're continuing to have obviously a strong basketball kind of appeal to the ISO. We are going to add some authors and some coaches and or athletes from other sports. But today, I believe we're releasing a conversation with one of the best player development coaches out there. He was in the NBA for a long time. He was a player development director for the Mavericks for, I think, 8 years. He was Kobe's personal coach, and the stories that he told are pretty interesting. I think listeners are going to really enjoy that. Chris Burgess, assistant coach at BYU, will be releasing soon. Eldridge Rakasner, former NBA player, will be releasing soon. I'm trying to schedule with Utah head coach Craig Smith. There's a number of other guests that, you know, just working on figuring out when their schedule lines up with my availability. But excited to keep going with the ISO. It's hard to believe it's been over a year since we started that project as the quarantine series when COVID hit. It's been something that's grown. I'm sure a lot of our guests we will bring on as repeat guests so they can tell new stories or updated stories. But it's been fun.
A lot to be learned from this podcast 3 times a week. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts. And while we're on the topic of reminiscing on a podcast, you guys, you're never going to believe it, but today is the 100th episode of the SB Live Washington podcast. So a little pat on the back is due. It's been great doing it for hitting the century mark with you guys.
Had no idea. That is awesome. Congrats, guys. It's means that's 100 times I've been late on the Zoom link to click go.
Hey, better late than never, man. Better late than never.
I think the tardy sauce can be passed around to all three of us depending on the week. So we're going to take a break. Tyler Linhart joins us next. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Andy Bueller here. Dan Dickow is with me. And also here is someone we're excited to welcome onto the podcast. He's a standout junior forward at Kings High School in Seattle. He was last year's 1A State Player of the Year. And as of Friday, he's a Washington Husky basketball commit in the class of 2022. He's Tyler Linhart. Tyler, thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
How has it been since you made that big decision at the end of last week to commit to UW?
It's been great. Obviously, a super big thing for me and my family. I've been hearing a lot of great feedback from the Washington fans and the community. And, you know, it just feels great just to be like, just to, you know, kind of put an end to the recruiting journey and have like a destination, you know, it just feels good.
Tyler, you made a great decision, I think. I think Coach Hopkins does a really nice job. Unfortunately, they had some struggles last year that obviously you follow them closely, you've seen as well. Mm. What was it about Coach Hopkins and UW that was kind of the final thing that made you decide that's for you?
Definitely Coach Hop was a huge impact on me committing to Washington. Me and Coach Hop share a lot of similar values when it comes to winning, actually. He's a huge competitor. If you ever met Coach Hop, you know, he wants nothing more to win. And I feel the same way. You know, I'm always upset when we lose. And I mean, everyone's upset. No one likes to lose. But, you know, I just feel like he has extreme will to win and he's going to make it happen no matter what. There were some big changes that went on. And I think that just like shows that he's willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, get some wins out and do the best for Washington's team, you know.
What went into committing when you did, and when did you know that it was?
I've always had a big interest in UW my entire life. I just thought about committing probably about a month ago. I was like, hey, it's not looking like we might have UIBL. We might not have UIBL. We're gonna play a small high school season, and I'm kind of just getting to the end of it where Washington's looking like a good option for me. But yeah, Washington has been a place where I've wanted to play since I was very little. Grew up watching the Huskies, so it was always on my list for sure.
The Seattle basketball community is as tight-knit as they come. You got guys that have made the pros and come back and give back. You get a lot of guys that play at the University of Washington and then kind of really support the young guys and kind of funnel them to the Huskies. What type of support have you gotten from some of the older guys in the area?
Yeah, I had some of the current, you know, UW basketball players come out, hit me up and be like, hey, congrats, stuff like that. And, you know, got some feedback from Nate Robinson on my Instagram, just stuff like that. And even with the stuff, like players that went play for Rotary, and then went to UW, there's been a couple of those. Obviously Rotary super excited.
What are your early memories of watching the program? Do you have like a favorite stretch or a favorite team or player?
Yeah, I was actually kind of old when this happened. I was probably like eighth grade, but when Green hit the three against Arizona, I was there and I ran out on the court with all my Rotary friends because we were down there. It was super.
So Washington's only incoming recruit in the 2021 class is Jackson Grant, who listeners know. It was a 6'10", skilled McDonald's All-American from Olympia. So you and Jackson have talked, I know, since you committed. What's the vibe between you guys, and what was that conversation like? Just, you know, forecasting, you know, a future, you know, potential.
Yeah, me and Jack actually worked out together with Mark. So we've been down there at UW working out. We talked about it a little bit, and then I think he knew what my intentions were just by how everyone was getting it. Now everyone was just like taking my recruiting process. So I think he knew, and I don't think it was a surprise to him. I'm definitely excited to see how well we played together because I've only really played against him. So I really would like to, I'm anxious to see how that's like.
Who did you lean on in the recruiting process for advice? I know you've got a really good high school coach in Rick Skeen, who helped Corey Kispert, who obviously is from Kings, went to Gonzaga. He's got an NBA future ahead of him. But you also play for Rotary, one of the better programs across the country. Who was kind of the guys that really were your sounding board helping you kind of sort through everything?
Man, let's see. I definitely lean on Skeen. Honestly, the biggest one was my dad. He's been running my basketball thing for forever, so I've been talking to him the most. I have my two trainers, you know, Mark McLaughlin. I'm pretty sure I've talked about him before. He played at a lot of places. He played at Washington, played at Baylor. And I also, my other trainer slash role model, Benjamin Muhammad. You know, Kamal Muhammad, he plays for Lakeside.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's his dad. I've been working out with him since I was fourth grade. So, he's definitely a big impact, you know, definitely helped me helped me weigh my options and make some decisions. So yeah, just those.
How do you assess, you know, after this past season, you know, Washington, it's been well documented, you know, Washington finishes 11th in the pack, and a little bit of an exodus with players transferring out. And these past 2 years have been a bit of a change of pace for a program that in the Hop era was off to, a pretty good start. How do you assess where this program might be, you know, not only when you step foot on campus, but, you know, when you're there and able to contribute?
Yeah, it's a lot of faith in Hop. Just judging by the way that he was talking to me when he was recruiting me, and he was letting me know like what things he was going to make happen so that we were to win games in the future. And, he's been doing a great job. I don't know if you saw Emmett Matthews just committed. That's huge for UW. That's massive. Everyone, we're on Tari and, what's the other one? Who else was I talking to? Oh yeah. And, PJ, so, you know, we're trying to bring all the Seattle guys home. You know, I think it'd be really cool. But yeah, we're getting the right guys right now. I just know that he wants to win more than he wants to do anything. So that's really that was it for me.
You've got a little over a year before you step foot on campus, and that provides a lot of time to really improve your game, your body, your skill set, your mental preparation for the college game. What are the biggest focuses that you have before you step foot on campus?
Man, I want to be able to guard all positions at a high school level, 5 through 1. I think that's a big emphasis for me. And then, because ultimately defense is what gets you on the court in college. You can't defend, you can't play. So I think that's a really big emphasis for me. I've talked to Hop about that too, what he wants to see me do before I come in. And that's one of the reasons why the commitment came in my junior year, just so I can get feedback from him and work on things that will help allow me to have more opportunities in their program. So
Dan touched on it a little bit, but you had a remarkable trajectory so far in high school. State semis as a freshman. I think you were first team all tournament that year. You retool your body between freshman and sophomore year and really put in the work and dedicated to becoming leaner, becoming stronger. And it really opened up things in your game as a sophomore, in a way that you don't typically see. I mean, it was such a big jump from a great freshman year to an even better sophomore year. With this long off season, longer than anyone would have ever thought, what has been the focus and what, I guess, what do you hope to accomplish, in this junior year?
That's a great question. Definitely. So I got hurt a little bit ago, and I actually had surgery on my foot. So I've been getting back from that, and that was the most recent focus. It was going really well. I was playing really well down in Arizona with BFL Prep, averaging like 20 a game and 8 rebounds before I got hurt down there. So things were going really well. Minor setback with the foot, had to get a little bone removed out of there. But besides that, I've just been working on getting back and staying in shape, trying to keep my body. I'm always trying to get my body better. I mean, you can't really, there's no end to that, and keeping up with like how you feel and stamina and stuff like that. So, you know, I've just been doing those things, trying to get ready for this season.
You talk about, defensively, your goals and wanting to be able to defend 5 through 1 at the high school level. What types of things do you do in training? Do you incorporate to be able to?
Man, Benjamin would love this. We're in the sand doing slides. We do a bunch of Vertimax work. We're hooked up to bands, restriction, explosiveness. We do like weightlifting in clusters. So you just do 3 reps as hard as you can. You do that 4 times. You get very tired. The 4th one's always hell. Just stuff like that, just different strategies just to get quicker laterally. That was my main focus freshman to sophomore year, was just getting quicker. You know, I was slow. I had to cut a bunch of weight off, and I definitely opened things up. You know, freshman year, I was playing the 4 or the 5, in the post. And then next sophomore year, I was bringing the ball up in the end of the state tournament. So definitely a big jump, and I'm just looking to build off that, honestly, just become more.
Corey Kispert's somebody you look up to, I know, and you know, really the beacon of the blueprint of what development and leadership looks like in the program at Kings. What was it like watching him develop this season into his senior year, becoming an All-American and taking Gonzaga to the finals?
Man, it's great. You know, just seeing how, like, Skeen's vision for me, because when I first came in, obviously Skeen knew I was pretty talented, but me and Corey didn't have a very similar play type. And he told me, like, he wasn't joking, but he was also joking. He's like, listen, I think you can be better than Corey. And I was like, whoa, those are some big shoes to fill. So, I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna do these things. He told me what to work on, you know, he helped me get through it. He's very hard on me in practice, stuff like that. So, you know, just seeing his vision for me pan out as I get closer to taking some of the steps Corey took, you know, it's super cool to see. Obviously I'd love to be in his position one day. We have a similar play style, and that's honestly what I'm working toward.
Do you have a relationship with Corey?
Not super strong one. We have worked out together and we know of each other, but it's nothing crazy. I was in eighth grade when he graduated, so we didn't really have a chance to like actually become friends or anything like that. But since then we have worked out together through skiing. He set some stuff up. So
that's a pretty impressionable time though, as an eighth grader when he's a senior, to, you know, be able to watch what he did and watch, you know, especially even the year before his junior year, it's 2 years before, and right before you enter the program, that's quite the blueprint.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So you committed Friday. You tweeted out. You post it. You send it out into the world. What is your phone like after you post it? Do you have to turn notifications off? And I wonder, after you answer that question, how to compare it to Dan back when you committed. What was that? Following, what was that like? I mean, who were you hearing from, and how were you hearing from it? We'll start with you, Tyler.
Yeah, I definitely had to turn the noties off. I don't think my phone went like 4 seconds without buzzing or something. At the start, like right when I posted it, it was pretty crazy. Like, it was, my phone was going nuts. So I had to just like take a step back and was like, whoa, okay, I got to start slowly chipping away at responding to everybody, you know, thanking everybody, stuff like that. No, but I mean, it's a great feeling. I definitely enjoyed it, because before that, I mean, it was kind of dead, whatever. And then it's just like, boom, one post, and now everything's going crazy. So it was fun, you know. I definitely enjoyed it. It wasn't too much. It was a lot, though, for sure.
Well, I know the recruitment these days are a complete night and day difference from when I was being recruited way back when. I mean, he mentioned the Nike EYBL. There was none of that. It was the Nike All-American camp, which I went to with about 120 kids across the country. Then Adidas had their own camp called ABCD back then with about 160 kids. And then you had some AAU tournaments that you went to here and there. But, you know, when I kind of came down to the time to make my decision, I had about 8 final schools, a couple Pac-12s, a couple of WCCs were in that mix. You know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have any of that. I think it was local cable television in my library at my high school, and the local newspaper from the Columbian down in Vancouver were there. And then the Seattle Times and the Seattle PI, because I committed to UW, I talked to them on the phone that night. But quite frankly, Tyler, what you guys go through with the recruiting world nowadays, I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck, because that constant buzz and that constant attention would be hard to continue to stay focused on your goals. And so a guy like yourself who's been recruited for a couple of years to kind of stay with the grind and kind of work through it and continue to get better and maximize your opportunities, I appreciate seeing guys like that. So I wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, actually, after I called Coach Hop to tell him, like, hey, he was actually in the car. I called him and he had to like pull over and start talking to me. It was funny. But I called him, told him what's up. We had a conversation, and then he was like, make sure you talk to these people. He gave me a list of people to call, like, make sure you talk to them. So I had the Seattle Times, some other people. I called them. I was like, okay, I can start putting my stuff out now. And all of a sudden, as soon as I get off the phone, it starts buzzing, and I'm like, I start getting Twitter followers. I'm like, Then I was like, oh, like Tyler Linhart commits to UW. I was like, all right, it's already leaked. I got to start going. So I started had to post it really fast. So that was funny. People were already finding out before. So it was definitely a rush. Right after I got off the phone, I hung up and Twitter followers started coming in. I was like, oh.
You got a lot of instant reaction, obviously. You know, the flip side of that coin, I could see how it would be overwhelming, but the flip side would be, you know, you get to hear from fans immediately. Have you had an influx of, you know, welcome from Husky?
Yeah, I've had some, there's some good ones. You know, I try not to interact with them too much on Twitter, but you know how it is on Twitter. People love to share their opinions, but you got a lot of people questioning the Corey comparison. They're like, oh, is he really going to live up to Corey? Like, I don't know. He's so young. People are like, it's just fun to look at, you know, definitely some reaction out of them. For the most part, it's definitely a lot of positive feedback. You know, everyone's happy to see Washington get local guys. So it was.
You going to be all healed up? That foot could be all healed up for the high school season this spring?
I don't know yet. My foot is healed completely. There is nothing wrong with my foot. It's just whether I'm getting back and if it's worth it to play in the high school season. I don't know. I'm definitely going to probably have to talk to Hop and talk to high school coach, stuff like that, see what they want me to do. But I think I should be able to get some.
Are you back to full contact right now at all, or are you doing things you normally would do?
I'm doing things I would pretty normally do, you know, working out, stuff like that, lifting, all of that. It's just whether or not I want to go, and it's pretty new. That would be probably my first couple actual live games off of it. So it's just whether they want to take it slower than that and do that, or come back on and play some games, whatever they're up to, I'm down for.
Well, regardless of whether you start the season out or not, I wish you the best of luck. I know King starts May 10th in a league-only schedule. It's been a weird year, man, and I'm glad that you were able to make some good news out of it and have a really positive moment.
Yeah, for sure.
King, and best of luck, Tyler.
Thanks for being with us, Tyler. We This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad. I'm Andy.